In professional sports, a franchise player is an athlete who is not simply the best player on their team, but one that the team can build their franchise around for the foreseeable future.
Happy Friday. Welcome to the show, everybody. JP Mundy along with Ryan Stone. We are the franchise players. Exactly 2 weeks out from high school football starting in the Triad and 3 weeks out from it starting in your neck of the woods over in Virginia, right?
Well, yeah, the regular season, but I do have a broadcast on the 19th like you. It's just a benefit game as opposed to a regular season game.
Yeah, and we've also got in a week and a day, we've got the NAL championship game. That's right, folks. Your Carolina Cobras are facing the Albany Empire for the 16 lead, carry the one, fourth time this season. And this time it's for all the marbles. Unfortunately, it is in Albany, but the good news is the guys got the win last Saturday night. So good luck to the Cobras as they head up. They have not lost to Albany this year, and you know, just in time for the playoffs, you get Jonathan Bain back, and it looked like the Carolina Cobras, what we saw last Saturday night.
Yeah, that was a really good performance out of the Cobras. There's no question about that. They really, especially receiver wise, like he really spread the ball around. They didn't have to like overly depend on any one person. Their defense played really well, I thought. I thought it was maybe their best defensive performance in a month, at least. And to have Bain back is obviously a huge boost. And, I mean, while they have not lost to the Empire this season, there were three really close games. So it's always hard to beat a team that many times, especially when you're factoring in that it's for all the marbles and they are the defending champions.
Yeah, they are the reigning champions, and they were played twice at home. Cobras got them twice in Albany once at home in one of our better games of the season. It'll be nice to see. This should be the best game of the year. It should be on paper, given the health of both teams, having Jonathan Bain back and having Sam Castronova and Darius Prince both, you know, running in at full form. So pay attention to the Tobacco Road Sports Radio Facebook page, our Twitter page. We're not sure how we're going to do the broadcast yet. It might be one or both of us doing it remotely. I don't know how it's going to go yet. The big boss man, Desmond Johnson, has not made that decision yet, so stay tuned. In other news, and kind of the news that's been keeping me up nights this week, I don't think sports like women a whole lot.
It's a joke. For Calvin Ridley to get suspended for an entire season for placing a bet on his team to win, and then Deshaun Watson, like, this judge comes out and says she said that he committed nonviolent sexual assault, which I don't even think that's actually real, to be first and foremost. I think
that's a little bit pregnant.
Her saying that is very disrespectful to women and to women who have been sexually assaulted, I feel like. And for him to only get six games, the precedent is just, it's awful. Their precedent just has not been strong enough. Now, the NFL is appealing it, to their credit. I kind of thought the NFL was just going to kind of hope it goes away. I mean, that's especially what it looked like when they announced the Dolphins news the next day. But they are appealing it, so I guess we'll see what comes of that.
I wanted to do an emergency podcast that day, and then I realized I wanted to see what the NFL was going to do, because I don't know if anybody missed this, but the they let us know ahead of time what was going to happen. As soon as the NFL Players Association let everybody know that, hey, whatever comes out tomorrow, we're not going to appeal it, you knew that it was a favorable ruling. So, and the question was always going to be, the NFL's optics are already bad on this issue. What are they going to do on this? And when the ruling came out, the judge came out, and she made it very clear that the only thing that she was required to go on was the NFL's guidance, which is never good. You never take the NFL's guidance on anything. Okay, let's not do it. It's entertaining.
Especially not on this.
No, it's entertaining. Take it on weed. Okay, take the NFL's guidance on weed use. All right, discipline for that. But don't. Historically, you don't look to the NFL for any type of moral or ethical guidance. You know, while it is entertaining and we've got favorites and the sport of football is great. You know, it's always the grown-ups in the room that go and ruin everything. And hello, Mr. Goodell.
This has just been like a really rough week in sports.
Oh, like, it's terrible.
Back to Sunday, I mean, you're talking Bill Russell dies, Ben Scully dies. This news comes out. Brittany Griner gets 9 years for weed, for a gram of weed.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Brittany. We're going to talk about Brittany in a little bit.
It's just been a rough week in sports.
Yeah, and you know how they tell us, especially in the media, never ever read the comment section. Brother, don't read the comment section right now.
Oh, no, I know. I know. I've seen way too many people try to defend the NFL on this ruling.
I had a Cleveland fan go, well, he already sat out a year. Brother, he was paid the entire season.
Yeah, he's not losing anything here. He still gets all of his signing bonus and everything of that nature. I mean,
is it a paid suspension?
I don't think it's a paid suspension,
but he got 6 games checked.
He got paid for all of last year, and he still got his signing bonus. So he's not hurting for money in any kind of way.
Here is my question. And for you, those of you listening in, let Ryan and I know if you can think of anything. I can't think of anything, at least recently, that even resembles what's going on with Deshaun Watson. Where, let's put it in context. Ryan Stone, who has been broadcasting for nay on a decade or whenever, you know, since he was in college.
That's about right. 12 years. Yeah.
Gets allegations from 30 employees, personal trainers, okay? You go to the gym.
Yeah.
30 personal trainers, 30, over the past 3 years, that all say the same thing, that Ryan acted inappropriately.
Yeah.
What happens if, you know, the proprietor of Tobacco Road Sports Radio finds out about these allegations, Ryan?
He's going to cut me off, and he should.
Yeah, you were released.
Yeah.
You are future endeavored. If the same thing happens to JP Money.
That's kind of what I was going to say. Like, while everybody's upset, for the most part, about the 6-game suspension, what is enough? Like, what constitutes enough? Because I honestly don't know in this case.
And that's where you kind of have to, because I am, full disclosure, Ryan, I'm an avowed capitalist. Capitalism's fine with me, okay? That's where I am with it. However, the capitalism mixed with, we have a priority where we have a society where teachers make what they do, and they should have a minimum. There should be a floor that's probably double, right? What they do, they're in charge of teaching the kids. I think entry level teachers starting somewhere around $30,000. That might be laughably high.
Is it that low?
It's in the 30s.
Okay, I was thinking upper 30s. I was thinking upper 30s.
You might be right, but that's still in 2022.
I agree. It's still not enough.
It's a laughable wage, right?
Yeah. Well, especially, I mean, if you live in this area and you're trying to pay rent or afford a house, and like stuff keeps getting more expensive, but their salaries are not going up.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what I'm saying is that the capitalism is fine, except that you get caught now in the whole, well, we Major League Baseball players can make $25 million a year.
But
a teacher's making, somebody who's been teaching for 20 years is maybe making 50. That's not right. So that's where I get messed up in all of this. But I understand that salaries and whatnot are all predicated on consumer demand, okay? And that's why Deshaun Watson makes the money that he does. Okay, fine. So let's get back to Ryan's question. What's enough here?
I don't know.
He shouldn't play again, right?
If he really is guilty, and it sounds like this judge thought he was guilty of nonviolent sexual assault, whatever that means. I think that's about the only thing that is acceptable.
The word she used was egregious behavior.
Egregious. And then she came with 6 games.
Yeah, and said that she had to use the NFL's description of inappropriate conduct. So let's address. I knew we would get into this. So let's break this down even further. The bros in the comments section and the replies on Twitter that say he was never convicted of anything. Just because it's not doesn't mean it's not heinous behavior.
Yeah. It doesn't mean it's all right. And as because you don't get
right. And as a business owner, you would think you don't want that person representing your business, right?
What do you think? I mean, did you see the greeting he got at training camp the next day when he showed up?
I don't even want to see this video. He got cheered.
He got a lot of cheers. I mean, they were fawning all over him.
Males wearing wraparound sunglasses? I mean,
I don't know, but I didn't pay that much attention. I just, heard the cheers, and some of this is the fact that the Browns haven't won in forever, so they're kind of selling their soul a little bit, if you will, to try to win a championship.
It's depressing, and I don't know what's more depressing, partner. The fact that this individual case has played out like it is, and the details of the case are just terrible, and you feel for the women who were harmed. And again, women or anybody can be harmed without it being a crime, okay? But the other problem is that I hear things like when we're talking about Title IX, and I saw this on Twitter, one of the great journalists, Bet FTW, Caroline Darney, who's also been a great reporter for the UVA Wahoos college sports. She's just fed up, like most of us are, because you got people, even in the high-profile people, calling some of this, the complaints about the behavior towards women, as a woke agenda. No, women's rights have nothing to do with a woke agenda.
People just throw that term around now when they hear something they don't like. I don't know how anybody's still throwing it around, honestly. If anybody's paid attention to the Alex Jones trial this week, I don't know how anybody's still throwing that term around or anything that clown has ever said around. But,
if you believe those things, if you have your views, whether it be on women's rights, civil rights, or whatever, sexual rights, sexual freedom, whatever those – have those. Don't be dumb about it. If you believe the opposite – also, don't be dumb about it. But I've seen far too much dumb this week, and my head is about to explode. And with that, let's take a break. And when we come back, let's amp the blood pressure up a little bit more.
Oh,
we're
great.
Going to Russia when we come back.
Oh, God.
The franchise players.
Beamer Tire and Auto Repair, now with 3 locations across the Triad, in High Point, Greensboro, and our new location in Kernersville. Beamer Tire and Auto offers full-service auto repair, all tire brands, free alignment checks, oil changes, and more. In Kernersville, check out the No Appointment Needed Quick Lube Shop. Check out their thousands of 5-star ratings via Google and Yelp. They care because they know that you can go anywhere. So try a shop with a beating heart, not a bottom line. Beamer Tire and Auto Repair. Visit us on Facebook or at BeamerTire.com.
In professional sports, a franchise player is an athlete who is not simply the best player on their team, but one that the team can build their franchise around for the foreseeable future.
Welcome back to the woke edition of Franchise Players. Not really. I'm just making fun. We're making fun of the terminology. Welcome back to the show. It's been just a terrible week in sports. We lose Vince Scully.
Bill Russell.
We lose Bill Russell, the standard. Quite
two
frankly,
icons.
Yeah, Bill Russell. I understand that, you know, in these times, you know, probably the Nike Air, the Jordan symbol should probably be the logo of the NBA. However, there's a time.
I think the logo should stay the logo, just because I like the current NBA logo.
It's Jerry West, right?
Yeah,
it's Jerry West. But one could say that the most decorated player of all time was Bill Russell. And he wasn't a guy that lived a celebrity life and enjoyed his fame like the stars of today do. And,
he was on the front lines fighting for equality. You talk about a winner. I mean, the guy was, you factor in his college and pro career, like he was undefeated in closeout games, or he was undefeated in like must win games, essentially. Like he was 21-0 or something like that in must win games.
He was Dennis Rodman before Dennis Rodman thought about being Dennis Rodman. I mean, Bill Russell was the consummate rebounder. He was the consummate scorer, and he was
shot blocker
and teammate.
Yeah.
So to lose Bill Russell, who was an advocate for change, for civil rights, for being good to your common man, and then you lose Vin Scully, who was, among other things, has anybody ever said a bad thing about Vin Scully? No.
I haven't heard it.
Vin Scully was an advocate for just being kind. People who have been eulogizing him all week, they talk about what a kind man who always had time for a kind word. So we've got that, and then we couple it with the Deshaun Watson thing, and then on Thursday you have to watch this joke play out over in Russia. And, okay, let's stop it right there, Ryan. She got caught. No matter the amount, she's breaking a law.
Okay.
She's breaking a law in Russia.
To that extent, okay. I completely understand.
Okay,
but
all right. So we have established.
There are people acting like if that was their family member, they wouldn't want them exported back to the U.S.
Right. What I have seen from the Facebook denizens and partner, it's almost time for me to get rid of my account. I keep it because a lot of like church people and school people, it's easier to get a hold of some people through Facebook, and it's easier to promote stuff that you and I do, and it's great.
Yep.
But unfortunately, I have no self-control, and sometimes I just want to see what the bros are saying. And all underneath the news today, whether it be the journals posting or WXII or whatever it is, a lot of folks all wearing wraparound sunglasses saying, good. I bet you she loves America now. So let me help. Let me throw in my two cents here. You can cancel me all you want for this. Whether you stand up or sit down for a song,
that's not what loving America is. You have the freedom. You have the freedom in this country to do that.
Especially if you tell me why that you are not standing for a certain song. I understand that, because we understand that it is a law that the national anthem is played before gatherings of large people, sporting events, okay? That's why the anthem is played. They even have to play it at the kids' fun run over at the elementary school, okay? We get it.
Yep.
They have to do so. And it's fine. It's a great song by Francis Scott Key. Wonderful. That's great. I stand for it, and Ryan stand for it when we go someplace and broadcast, because we are guests that have been invited to work and broadcast, over wherever we are, especially if it's a school. Okay,
yeah.
We're going to do that. It's not a big deal to us. Sometimes I'm sitting down because I'm running commercials. It's not because I am protesting anything.
Yeah, I was going to say there have been times where I've been in like tight quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to get up, especially in gyms,
mm-hmm.
sometimes, where I haven't stood for it because of that. And, I mean, that was kind of one of the first things that came to my mind when people were upset about Colin Kaepernick, the whole kneeling thing was, well, people – I've been to plenty of sporting events where people are talking or on their phone or – are at the concession stand during the national anthem and aren't, and they're not turning and facing it. So I mean, you can't pick and choose which is disrespect.
Are they hating
opinion.
America? By the way, if you're going to the Dippin' Dots, going to the Dippin' Dots or getting another beer, they are not hating America. I don't think they are.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't pick and choose which one of those is hating America.
Okay, and here's a news flash, folks. If somebody is doing it and it's a form of protest and they just choose to sit down, just because they're protesting something doesn't mean they hate America. Matter of fact,
if anything, they appreciate the fact that they have the right to do it, I guess.
That is correct. They just love their country enough that they want to see some things change. That's my two cents. That's fine. I stand up. I don't stand at parade rest anymore. I don't stand at attention anymore. If I'm a fan, I'll say a prayer, because that's just me. That's between me and God. You know, that's fine. My son sings along. He thinks it's a good song. It's a hard song to sing. That's
it
great.
Is that.
But none of it, whether you agree with the protest or disagree with the protest, or anybody, and I'm talking to anybody, whether it's Brittany Griner, Colin Kaepernick, or anything, whether you agree or disagree with a form of nonviolent protest, there's no reason for you to be going on Facebook and saying, good, when someone's wife, someone's spouse has been locked up
in
a foreign country for less weed than your teenagers got in their closet right now. It's a vape pen with less than an ounce of weed. And I don't know about you, Ryan, but I know what an ounce of weed looks like from back in the
day. It ain't much.
It's not a lot of stuff. I believe I know would call it shake.
You would not even get jail time for that in the U.S. Like
that's the other thing. Here's the hypothetical I pose to you and our listeners today, whether you agree with us or not about whether Brittany Griner hates America or whatever, here's what I want to know. If it was LeBron James, better yet.
No, don't do LeBron.
Better yet, maybe Bronny. Let's say, if it was Gordon Hayward. If Gordon Hayward got busted in the same fashion, What kind of – are we still saying good while wearing our wraparound shades on Facebook?
I think the person to ask there would be somebody – or the person to be the hype, do the hypothetical with there would be somebody from the Trump family.
I mean, we're going there today, but I don't know if we're going there today. How about this?
I'm just saying that's the opposite side of it. If you're gonna like fully make the example.
Okay, we can do that. Or let's say your boy Tom Brady. Tom Brady's buddies.
Well, first of all, if this happens before the NFL season. And Tom is still a Buccaneer, I'm on the plane to Russia to go get him back.
Yeah, that's a bad example. That'd be like a covert operation, getting it on, trying to get him back. But do you see what we're meaning, people? We got a bunch of people with suddenly strong sense of patriotism because Brittany Griner, who participated in a protest of most notably Breonna Taylor.
Yeah.
Who, by the way,
ironically,
four of the cops involved in the Breonna Taylor incidents were federally indicted today or Thursday. Federally.
Yep.
Not Louisville city cops. Not Kentucky State Police, Club Fed. Yep. So, for protesting injustice, oh my God, for protesting injustice that this great country that y'all are, this great country, America, that people are being so patriotic about over this Brittany Griner incident. She was protesting something that she's right about.
She was 100% right.
She was 100% right about it.
100%. And I mean, it should not even matter that she protested something. Like that should not even be brought up. Like, it is a travesty that somebody is being convicted in a foreign jail, a foreign enemy jail at that, for 9 years for something that you wouldn't even, like, most cops in America wouldn't even arrest you for it.
Right. They take the bag and say, son, get home.
Yeah, that's, I...
Now, let's be clear about something. I believe that the sentence passed down today was for headlines. In both Russia and certain corners of the U.S. Because there is going to be a prisoner exchange, and Brittany Griner is going to come home. She is not going to spend... She's not going to spend not 9 years in a Russian prison, okay?
There better be a prisoner exchange.
And Ryan's problem... mine and Ryan's problem is the fact that we need to do better. Hey, maybe we title this show Don't Read the Comments, because the comments, we need to do better, folks. Me, Ryan, everybody. Some people more than others.
I can't help it. I got to read the comments. I'm a masochist.
You're not. You know who the worst has the comments?
Our producer is the
worst.
Our
producer's the worst with the comments, but at least he's...
And he will tell you he's the worst.
He'll tell you he's... Can you imagine if it had been like Armando Bacot arrested for anything, like in Russia? He'd be trying to
like get us some kind of secret covert op flight to Russia to go get him.
I'd be like, Dez, why did you send me some camouflage pants? B-Dot pull up in the Black Hawk helicopter. We're gone. We gotta go get Armando. Practice begins in 2 months. We gotta go.
Why did you send me all this cold weather gear?
I have never shot a gun in my life. Why do I have a chopper? But you know, those are the fun type of that's the fun type of comment section. But man, I need you guys out there, regardless of what you believe in, okay? It's America. That's what regardless of what you believe in, Ryan and I think certain ways. Ryan and I don't agree on everything else, right?
That's fair. That's 100% true.
100%. We don't agree on everything. Like, and he's ageist. He doesn't like old people. I'm just joking.
That's not true.
That's not true. Ryan's grandma's his favorite person in the world. So yeah.
She is.
So that's not true. But what we're saying is that this week has been a stark reminder that regardless of whatever we believe freely, let's be kinder. Be more empathetic.
It shouldn't be that hard.
Have you guys ever been to a holiday gathering? There's always at least one uncle that ain't right.
Oh, man, every holiday gathering, I end up in a separate room watching whatever game is on.
Right.
By myself. Because I can't do it.
That's right. But you still have empathy. That's still your family. Now,
I mean, I show up every time knowing what the end result is going to be. So,
and they say, JP, Ryan, why don't you have any empathy towards Deshaun Watson? Because he hasn't been punished.
It's a bad
precedent. What am I supposed to explain to my 11-year-old boy?
He got a $230 million contract while the investigation was still going on.
He was paid all $10 million. I think it was $10.6 million last season and didn't have to work.
Where's the punishment?
And it has cost him. I'm sure it's going to cost him endorsement-wise.
Yeah, there's no question. But I don't think he wasn't. He probably would have. He was on like a superstar pass, so he was probably gonna get a lot more endorsements. But he hadn't really accumulated many yet. So he didn't even get punished there really, because it's not like he had a bunch taken away or anything.
Well, I hope that justice is served. I don't want everybody gets a second chance. But just when you miss a season and get paid for it the way he does, and he's still not losing anything but a couple of game checks at the moment right now from the NFL, this is going to be an interesting couple of weeks to see how the NFL handles itself. When we come back, we're finally going to lighten the mood, because if you haven't noticed, I'm all out of haterade, folks. I'm done. It's my time to be a little kinder and gentler. When we come back, franchise players.
In professional sports, a franchise player is an athlete who is not simply the best player on their team, but one that the team can build their franchise around for the foreseeable future.
Just Blaze.
Back to Franchise Players, JP Mundy, along with Ryan Stone. Ryan, I've been following along the best I can with all of the moves that were made at the trade deadline. Good work by our crew, Brett Wiseman and company. Did a nice wrap up of the trade. I think he did it with Larry Franks, right?
That is correct. Yeah,
did the trade deadline day show. I know things didn't work out personally for Brett's squad and my squad, but your squad actually got better. What do you make first about some of the blockbuster moves? Most notably, you've got Soto going to the Padres, and they got my guy Drury, who hit a grand slam on the first pitch he saw as a Padre the other night.
I am A-okay with Juan Soto going to the Padres.
Yeah.
as long as it wasn't the Dodgers or the Yankees, he could go anywhere else. Nowhere else in the NL East where my Braves had to worry about him anymore. I am completely fine with him going to the Padres, because if the Padres end up winning the World Series, that's not gonna hurt my feelings. I don't hate the Padres, so that's not gonna bother me. That was the blockbuster move. I think also the fact that they got Josh Bell as well in that deal was a little bit surprising also.
And meanwhile, in Atlanta, and I can't pronounce his last name. Is it Anthopoulos or what? Alex.
Yeah, Alex Anthopoulos. And then
he's not as bad a GM as some might believe.
I mean, I think he's proven that he's pretty good. One, he made moves at the trade deadline last season that allowed the Braves to win the World Series. And two, I mean, while Freddie Freeman is still playing very well for the Dodgers, the Braves haven't really missed him so far.
Yeah, I don't know if you know, I know that the Braves got off to a bad start. And
yeah, they also didn't have Acuña the first month, so.
Right, and Acuña hasn't even been playing lights out. But somehow you guys are still within a game or two, right?
Two and a half. I think it's 2.5, and they're playing the Mets this weekend. So we'll see what comes of that. And they're the top wild card team right now.
So, you know, the sky was not indeed falling for Braves fans. And I think they're set up money-wise at least for the next 10 years. And they did so without having to worry about Soto, which was a big deal, because you knew that was going to probably, when he turned down, what was it, $44 million from the Nationals?
It was like almost a $500 million contract or something like that.
Which is an absurd amount of money. You know, meanwhile, you know, down in Atlanta, they didn't have to worry about that. You've got a first baseman who you think can play.
Yeah.
He got off to a very slow start, but it has acquitted himself very well. He's one of the league leaders in doubles, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
Your starting pitcher is there. We haven't even talked about the pitcher that got dealt.
Will Smith.
What are your opinion on it, Will Smith? He's a polarizing figure. Every time I've seen him pitch, he's gotten lit up. So I'm in that
game. It must be something about that name right now, to be a polarizing figure and have that name.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say that the baseball Will Smith doesn't keep digging himself further holes. He betters his life. But here's my unsolicited advice to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Go into hiding.
Don't go into hiding. Just go make Bad Boys 4.
Fine. Go make Bad Boys 4, but don't do any PR, don't make any more videos, don't do any public apologies, don't do any more magazine interviews, don't do anything else. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Anyway, Will Smith, he goes back to the Astros, if I got it right?
I think that's right.
I have a feeling he's going to do very, very well there. I just don't think that he ever fit, for some reason, in Atlanta, even though he played a pivotal part.
If I had to bet a team to win the World Series right now, I would bet the Houston Astros at this point.
Yeah, and not cheating, of course.
Not cheating this time. I mean, they were there last year, I think, and I just think, you know, they're playing really well. They were playing really well going into the All-Star break. So if I had to bet someone right now, that's probably who I would go with.
Yeah, the Baltimore Orioles.
Oh, and they got Trey Mancini, too. So.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
The Baltimore Orioles are another team locally. Locally, this is basically a Braves town, followed by you had a bunch of Orioles fans. We were either back in the 70s, you either became an Orioles or a Reds fan, because that's the only thing that was on TV.
Yep.
So I fell into the Reds category. The Orioles were playing some good ball headed into the All-Star break, but I haven't heard a lot of noise since the All-Star break. You know, they could actually potentially play themselves into that first round wild card.
Maybe, but they did trade away a decent amount of talent at the deadline, so I don't know if that's a tanking move or what that. I guess we'll see how they play.
Which was my question. What was going to be my question to you? There were the biggest question on trade deadline day, besides where would Soto go, was why are the Orioles sellers? That doesn't make a lot of
why
sense.
Did the why were the Brewers sellers? Like, why did the Brewers trade Josh Hader? Like that, I can't.
I have no.
That one I couldn't
that.
Understand. That one, I mean, I know you don't because you're that's your division. But why would they trade him? Like I don't understand that move.
You know, and I know Brett's happy because basically everybody's moves in the NL Central benefited the Cardinals. The Cardinals didn't exactly get better, but everybody else kind of sold off. You know, they don't have to mess with Luis Castillo anymore, but I'm happy for Luis. He's going to get a chance to, you know, to play well for a better team that right now, while the Reds have a bunch of prospects. Reds, I did not know this, partner. The Reds are 14 of their last 21.
They've actually been playing pretty well.
Excuse me, 15 of the last 22. Because they
lost. They've actually been playing pretty well.
So you know, they're not. I can see now what their owner and his brother, who's the VP of operations, the Castellini brothers. I understand what they were doing, kinda. But it'd be nice to be in a playoff race. But at least I can watch Atlanta because I am just fascinated. Not by the players, but at how the organization has gone and mixed in use of the free agent market, and they've combined it with their farm, developing their farm system, and yep. that recipe is working towards is working to a T, where, you know, 2 months ago we weren't thinking of the Atlanta Braves as World Series threats, but it could actually happen.
Yeah, I mean they're. They've cooled off a little bit, but they were a really hot team going into the All-Star break. Came out pretty hot. We'll see what they do against the Mets this weekend. That's obviously going to be a huge series for both of those teams in terms of the NL standings. But I'm excited to go see them play in Boston on Tuesday. I do know that much.
Now, that's right. You're traveling.
I am.
You're traveling. Are you going to be able to do a show next week? No.
Oh yeah, I'll be ready.
Oh, you'll be ready. Okay, all right.
I'll be back. I come back Wednesday night, so should be all right.
So you're going to Boston. So
I'm going to Boston.
Now you've been to Fenway before, right?
I have been before. Yes.
So what is your game like? You get to the park. What do you? I mean, what is the what do you have to do? I know you're getting a beer, but are you getting a Fenway Frank? Because I've heard those and Dodger dogs are the nastiest things ever. But you got to get one.
I'll see what I eat before the game, how much, you know, because there's like a row of bars right there at Fenway.
Do I need to contact the Stadies, the Massachusetts State Police?
I will definitely be in there sometime mid-afternoon on Tuesday.
Oh, my goodness. So if you're thinking about it next Tuesday, folks. Say a little prayer for the franchise players. Oh my goodness! But that's going to be fun. Do you know where your seats are?
Yeah, they're actually right near the Braves dugout. So good seats.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. Those are good seats to have. When I went to see the Reds at home play the Cardinals, I was in the Cardinals. I was behind the Cardinals dugout, which, given the fact that the Reds were winning most of that game. You know me. I was pretty happy most of that game. And to make it better, Wiseman started getting furious on social media at the same time. And my response was, I think, beautiful. I sent him the video of the final out. And I think
you had a
it was great. But you know, and so we're talking about Fenway, and we talked about this last week. We talked about some of the great venues. Brett Friedlander, I don't know if you know Brett. Brett's a fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I know Brett's a great writer.
He's a great writer. He's an ace. Normally does ACC basketball. He's a longtime ACC guy. Worked for in Wilmington for a long time for their paper. He is now with the North State Journal, and he just did a piece. And if you haven't seen it already, Ryan, he did a piece. This imagine your editor saying, you know, giving you this assignment. You know, Ryan, we want you to go to every ballpark in North Carolina that's affiliated with a major league club, and I want you to rank them in different categories.
Okay.
And I
wouldn't be mad about that.
And neither was Brett, as it turned out. And he's got, you know what, he's got stories for days. We should have him on. And as we get, as we start ACC football, he would be a great guy to have on. We'd need to have a 3-hour show, but he'd be a great guy to have on. So he says, I have not been to the new night. I used to work at Knight's Castle, which was in Fort Mill, South Carolina, when the Charlotte Knights played there. But they says that the best, sight lines are at Knight's Castle or the Knight Stadium in downtown Charlotte. You ever been there?
I have not been there, but I have seen the view of what down you can see downtown Charlotte from there. And yeah, that's an incredible view. There's no question.
Now, we got some love. We being Winston-Salem, we got some love as having the best perspective to watch a game, which is the grassy hill in left field, and I concur.
That is a good spot.
That's a great spot because you're not too far from the foothills, really, if you're a beer drinker. So if you need libations, you can walk to the foot.
That was the first thing that came to mind.
Right.
You said that.
And there's also actually a beer truck that you don't even have to walk all the way to the foothills little setup there in center. Yeah, there. I think there's a beer truck or some sort of a Devil's Tonic distributor.
Right there on the
concourse. So it's a great place. He is definitely not wrong about that. He cites Durham Bulls. That's one of the places I have not gone.
I've not gone to a game there. I mean, I've been at that stadium before, but I've not gone to a game there.
What were you doing at Durham Bulls Athletic Park?
Well, I mean, I was, you know, just outside the stadium, not like in it or anything. Kind of like, I mean, I've been to Wrigley in that same regard, but I haven't been inside of Wrigley.
You're talking about you were at a bar.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was in downtown Durham. I was in that area. Okay. I don't think that was actually the reason, but but it sounded good.
Yeah, that. Okay. And the time we've got left, are you betting anything this weekend? Is there anything to bet on? I know the preseason football has started, but that doesn't count. If you bet preseason football, there's go ahead and call Gamblers Anonymous. So what do you?
I did throw a little bit on the Wyndham since it's in Greensboro. I bet on Russell Henley, who won it last year, and I bet on I'm blanking.
Harold Varner.
Blanking, not Varner.
Will Zalatoris.
Not Zalatoris either. It wasn't a local guy. It was
of course it wasn't.
He's in second place right now as we speak. I gotta look real quick. Sung J M.
I bet on him as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So I bet on those two guys. So since it was the Wyndham, I usually wait and bet golf live on either late Friday or early Saturday, but since it was the Wyndham and local, I went ahead and did a little something. I do have a Haterade shower, though.
This is a happening. Go for it.
Just because we need to lighten the mood still. And I have to give a Haterade shower to my co-host, JP Mundy. Because you, sir, on Saturday night when we were doing the Cobras Arena game, you, sir, brought up the idea of going to Albany to do the game. and we were presented with the opportunity to go to Albany. And your response was, you would get divorced if you were going to Albany for 4 days. And let me tell you, I've been around you. There's no way your wife would miss you that much for 4 days. There is no way that she would divorce you for that.
I feel hurt. I feel seen. I did speculate on air about going. I had no
idea. That's the only reason I'm saying anything about this is because you brought up the idea.
It is my fault. I logistically cannot make it work.
I can't either. But I'm not the one that brought it up.
The plan was to ride the team bus, and it is going to be 4 days.
Yes.
I do have another job.
Yes.
working in college sports, which I hear are right around the corner.
That they are.
But we're going to figure out something. We'd like to go. I'd love to be able to make it work. But if you if you've ever seen the show Full House.
Oh, we're getting a Full House reference.
Dial that up. Dial that up with, and then add like a case of Red Bull and some steroids, and we're getting close. So, I mean, it was moving. we had to move heaven and earth to get the show recorded, and it was a simple day. So going to Albany for 4 days? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But we, now that I am suitably punished.
Let me get a Gatorade shower in real quick, too.
Please, love on something.
Ocho Cinco.
Yes.
I don't know why he was in Greensboro Wednesday night, but he gave a waitress at it was Stephanie's, right?
That's where I think it was at Stephanie's.
Yeah, he gave her a $1,000 tip on a $24 tab and wrote, "I scored 6 touchdowns in Madden once as myself."
And that is
on that's him. Like I know somebody that has like a personal experience with him. One of my best friends, when he lived in Atlanta, he won season tickets to the Braves for a season. And Ocho Cinco was in Atlanta for some reason. He had tweeted out that, he wanted to go to the Braves game that day. So my friend tweeted him and was like, "Oh, come with me." And he did. They went to the Braves game together. It was a great experience.
And that is the moral of today's story, boys and girls. Be kind to everyone. Ocho Cinco hadn't made any NFL money in years and tipped a waitress in Greensboro, North Carolina, Kakalaki, $1,000 just because.
It was a $24 tab.
$24 tab. Be kind, friends, and join us next week. I'm sure we're ramping up more on high school football. We'll get more to that. Maybe we'll have a guest. I hope we do. If we don't have guests, I will have some audio from local training camps. I'm trying to get out as many practices as I can. Saw the great Sam Pendleton this morning. So it's already been a good week.
Is he still jumping out of pools? We didn't reference that.
You know what? I may need to go back to practice and talk to him about that. All right. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening, Franchise Players.